Well, good morning to all of you here. We got a full house today. Over the decades, and actually it's been more frequent these last 10 years, I've been asked this question, and it's been more frequently the last 10 years, and I believe it's time. I have drugged my feet with this for quite a while. But I think we need to discuss this today. For those of you connected online and that will watch this later, those of you that are here, we need to clearly understand this. And why? Because it's becoming more muddled and not clearly understood and even taught. And so, here's the question. You can write this on your paper. She'll be back. You can write this on the paper. Here's the question. When was the Lord's Passover? Simple question. You might have grown up in the church. You might have been attending 40, 50, 60 years. But we need to talk about this because I'm finding more and more, one, don't know why we keep it when we do. They're starting to keep it on other days and in other ways. Hey, that's a rhyme. I'm a poet and don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellows. Anyway, so when was the Lord's Passover? Did Jesus Christ keep the correct day? You may say, what an absurd question, because some claim he didn't because of what they do now. What does the Bible say? Not what someone taught you or what you read or someone interpreted, but what does the Bible say? How does His holy word answer this question? Each year, God's holy days remind us of His overall plan. Please keep that in the back of your mind. And His purpose for man. Man has a proclivity to always make better what God says is clear and interpret it for what we want. When the holy days are to be kept is determined by the Hebrew sacred calendar, which has its first month, Nisan, in the spring. One person told me one time that that used to be called, anybody remember what it was before Nisan? Datsun. Right? That was supposed to be funny. That flopped. So, but in the first month, Nisan, in the spring, please listen carefully. Many of you may be aware that the Jews keep the Passover on the evening of the 15th of Nisan, or Nisan. Some of you may do that. I hope I have your interest. I hope I have your ears peaked. I hope you're listening with an open heart and an open mind. Is that the correct day to observe the Passover? I'm not here to argue, debate, or purposely offend anyone out there or any that will listen to this. Or anyone here. That's not my purpose. But we do need to simply look at this. This is the Word of God, and we need to answer this question. Like I said, I know this is controversial. People are very opinionated. I know that. But I need to address it. Most of the Christian world denies this day altogether. Instead, they embrace and observe Easter. We all would agree with that. That's not in the Bible. So, yes, it's a controversial issue. And I know that some of you have already tuned me out by what I've said so far, and I can't help that. But I want to tell you something that you may not know or have heard. Do you know that what we're going to talk about today, can I move this? Because I'm tired of Eric having yellow sticking out of his head. Every time I look to see him, all I see is bright yellow and a nose, and it just looks funny. Oh, they're still there, and the flowers are gone. But anyway, so did you know that this discussion we're having today was also very controversial in the first century when Jesus Christ walked the earth? It's not a new thing. Let me add, yes, the controversy has continued all the way to February 28th, 2026. Why do I use the word controversy? Because we're going to see that. We're going to go through that today. And I'm going to mention a lot of scriptures. You might want to go back and watch this video and stop it and go back and write down, because I'm not going to have you turn to all of them. We'd be here till 3 o'clock. But the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke show that on the night Jesus Christ was betrayed, He and His disciples prepared and kept the Passover. Okay? Matthew 26, Mark 14, 12, and Luke 22, 15. Listen carefully. The Jews, however, kept it 24 hours later. John 18, 28. I'm going to refer, like I said, to a lot of scriptures. You can go back, listen to the recording, stop as needed, and go through them. I encourage you to do that. Because for the sake of time, I will simply give and refer to the scriptures in many cases. And you, your assignment, you'll need to go back and study them carefully. I ask you, please do so. And if you have any questions, don't do it today, because I have company and church, and we have a meal every Sabbath, and I'm tired. So, but after today, if you want to discuss it, I'm open to. I'm not open to debate and argue and get yelled at and corrected based on your interpretation, but I'm willing to discuss it. So my question is, who kept the right day? Jesus or the Jews? Are we to assume that Christ could have kept the Passover on the wrong day? Some of you are scratching your head. What? So today we're going to discuss, and I'm going to show you that Jesus Christ indeed kept the right day, and it is the Jews who today keep the Passover on the incorrect or the wrong day. Boom, there it is. I just dropped a big bomb, didn't I? Let's go back to the beginning. We need to go back to the beginning to when and why this day was even sanctioned by God to be kept. Because the children of Israel were commanded to keep the Passover on the 14th day of Nisan, or Nisan, which, depending on the year, is during the month of March or April. This year we're on March 31st. It's earlier. There were no divisions among the Israelites. They all kept it on that day. And God lists all the festivals. We heard this from Eric last week. And the holy days. And by the way, the Passover is not a holy day. Eric and I talked and we changed the video. And this is not a diss. He gave a great message. He just, what he meant to say, he misspoke. But the Passover is not a holy day. We're going to discuss that today and explain in this context. So God lists all of His festivals and holy days, and He gives instructions concerning them in Leviticus 23, where it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." That's why I call it the Lord's Passover. One group that I used to be part of had a press release. It is the New Testament Christian observance of the Passover. You want me to translate that? That means Easter. Okay? It's the Lord's Passover. And notice first that it is God's Passover, not the Jews. And the day is to be kept on the 14th, folks, not the 15th. God reveals that the days are to begin and end when? At even or sunset. So today began last night at sunset. That's why we that keep the Sabbath don't work from sunset or sundown to sunset or sundown. Okay, that's the complete day. And so here's some verses you can look up, because God reveals the days are to begin and end at even or sunset. Leviticus 23:32. This is for Noé, Deuteronomy 16:6, and Psalm 104:19. And by the way, I encourage you, if you can, to go back and listen and take notes and study this, because just listening, you will miss some of it. So the Passover, we're going to go through this, begins at sunset at the beginning of the 14th. The Jewish community observes their Passover on the 15th, beginning at sunset, as any standard westernized calendar will show you. I have in the kitchen and up in my office a calendar that's put out, and it says when the Passover is kept for the Jews. And so Leviticus 23, verse 6, tells us that the first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th, as we keep the night to be much observed, as we begin that, or remembered, some like to call it that. But we're going to see as we go through today, I hope, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread are two very different, distinct, separate festivals. They are not one. They are not to be combined in one, although we'll see why the Bible says certain things that people can gather that. Before, though, we cover the events of the Passover in the New Testament, I want to review the events as they occurred in the Old Testament. And I want to talk about, if you want a subtitle, Between the Two Evenings. I first did a detailed study of this in 1980. So that's been a few years. Over the years, I have gone back over what we're about to discuss and talk about many times, mostly because some few brethren somehow wanted me to see it correctly and stop keeping it on the 14th. Now, first of all, the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed in the evening. That's Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Again, I'm just referring to all this, and we could go through and read it all, but we would really be here for a long time. The Passover lamb was to be sacrificed in the evening, per Exodus 12, 6, on the 14th day of the first month. In the evening is better translated between the two evenings, which literally means between sunset and dark. Deuteronomy 16, verse 6 confirms this when it says, the lamb was sacrificed at even at the going down of the sun. Now, if you have the Jacinius Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, it says this about the phrase, at even. It is the time between sunset and deep twilight. Okay, so if the Bible is clear, how did the date of the observance change? Very simply, the Jews changed what determines the beginning and ending of a day, which goes against, for me, biblical proof that the day begins at sunset. I'm not trying to be nasty or mean. I'm just trying to look at this logically and what God's Word says and ask myself, why would some begin to do this? And then teach it and share it and discuss it with other groups of people to try to get them to see it that way. Their teachings about the beginning of days and the time of Passover are simply not provable from the Word of God, the Bible. But the good news is, good news, you like good news? You can prove when the Passover is to be observed. That's good news, I think. Because we need to look at the word in the 14th. Exodus 12, verse 8 says the Israelites were to eat the Passover meal in that night. Which night? The one mentioned in verse 6, the 14th. After that, God smote the firstborn this night, verse 12, not the next night, but this night, the 14th. That's why in Numbers 28, 16, it says, and in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Leviticus 23, verse 5 and 6 has that. The events of the Passover occur in the 14th. And the events of the first day of unleavened bread occur in the 15th. Now, here's what's good news too. There are some other obvious proofs. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 to 22, there are very clear instructions. The Israelites were not to leave their houses until morning. They weren't to leave. If they did, they would have died. That is why they were to burn their leftovers the next morning in verse 10. You know, our president, in a press release, whatever he gave, said to all those people in Iran right now with them being bombed and everything going on, that stay in place, stay protected, and stay in your, don't go out and just live normally. Stay, you know. So God said to the children of Israel, don't go out. You're going to be killed. You'll die. And remember, since God's days begin at sunset, the morning after the Passover is still the 14th, the day portion of the 14th. So on your calendar, you're going to see Passover. And we keep it when it begins on the 14th, at the night when it begins, which is why we will be March 31st when the sun goes down, okay? Right about that time, I forget what sundown is, but it's very close to when we'll start. And we begin the 14th. That's when we keep it. That's why most churches of God say we keep the Passover the night. They call it the night before, but it's actually that night when it starts. And so, since God's days begin at sunset, the morning after the Passover is still the 14th. It's the day portion of the 14th. They were supposed to leave their houses. They were not supposed to leave their houses until morning. Yet Deuteronomy 16:1 says they left Egypt by night. Their exodus from Egypt then had to be the following night or the night of the 15th. This is why Exodus 12:42, it was a night to be much observed. This is confirmed in Numbers 33, verse 3, and they departed on the 15th day of the first month on the morrow after the Passover. Throughout Scripture, folks, God makes an obvious distinction between the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt. Very clearly. And by the way, there is the spoiling of the Egyptians, which is Exodus 12, verses 33 to 36. That could have only taken place, listen carefully, on the afternoon of the 14th, just hours before the Israelites left Egypt, the night of the 15th. But that's another teaching that's floating around. They did not spoil the Egyptians many days and weeks before the Passover, as some believe and teach and claim. Folks, the Israelites were slaves. Why would the Egyptians give their slaves all their belongings, all this wealth, days prior to the killing of the firstborn? Because if you remember, it was that plague that caused the Egyptians to finally surrender their wealth and things they cherished and said, get out, take everything, leave before everything's finished and dead. So that teaching that, oh, they did it for weeks and months and days before, doesn't make logical sense to me, but yet some teach that. And it's also gaining strength and momentum. Now, you have to remember, God in His Word purposely names things. He does it on purpose. He picks things. Many of His names and places and people whose names were changed. Okay? You remember who was changed to Israel? Okay? Do you remember, He changed names once they became what God intended for them. Abram became Abraham. And there's many lists I could go through. So how did the Passover get its name originally? How did it get its name originally? I'm going to read parts of this. Exodus 12, verse 23 and 27. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two sides of the posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer, as it says, to come in into your houses to smite you. That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians and He delivered our houses and the people bowed their heads and worshiped. It's called the Passover because the angel or servant of the Lord, okay, passed over the houses of the Israelites who had followed God's direction given to Moses. Now, I'm just going to add this as a sidebar for Joe or a rabbit hole for some. Whether it was God Himself or one of His angels or a group of angels, we could spend hours discussing that. Do you know where the term death angel came from? Cecil B. DeMille's in the Ten Commandments. Okay, but the Bible says the destroyer. Okay, back to the name of Passover. God names things for what they are. The name Passover is appropriate. God passed over the houses that had the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost. God also passes over, forgives our sins when we repent of them and come under the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. And we're going to keep going through this. It was kept on the 14th many generations later. I'd say it's been a lot of generations since then, don't you think? We don't put blood on our doorposts and our lintel. If we did, somebody would call the police probably if they saw it. But I know some people that think they have to do that, so they do. There's all kinds of stuff that people believe and teach now. It's just getting worse and worse or more complicated to confuse people on what's clear. When the Hebrew children would ask about this service years later, decades later, Exodus 12, 27, the parents were told to respond, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Yes, it's God's Passover, and God said in Leviticus 23, 5, the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Many generations later, the Israelites were still keeping the Passover on the 14th. They kept the Passover on the correct day when they were in the wilderness. That's in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 5. When they entered into the promised land, they were still all in agreement. That's Joshua 5 verse 10. They being Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two people that went into the promised land. King Josiah, if my memory serves me correctly, kept the Passover on the 14th. That's 2 Chronicles 35, verse 1 or 2, right in there. We also read in the time of Ezra, they were still keeping it on the 14th. That's Ezra 6, 19. That was about 519 BC. So now we need to discuss, why then did the New Testament Jews keep it a day later? Why is it when we come to the New Testament, we find the Jews were not all keeping the same day as Jesus Christ? And the Jews' Passover, John chapter 2, verse 13, The Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And I could spend a lot of time talking about that, but my purpose of mentioning that is here it's called the Jews' Passover, not the Lord's Passover. Why were the Jews now keeping it a day later? We need to talk about that. The Jewish confusion appears to have arisen in the 3rd century before Christ. The Palestinian Jews were under Egyptian control from, I think, 301, 300 to 198 BC. Now, why do I mention that? Because you don't want to confuse this Egyptian control with the during the days of Moses, which occurred many centuries earlier. Here's what happened. While the Egyptians allowed the Jews to retain their ancient calendar, there was a change made in the beginning of the day. It became common to begin the day at sunrise, which is what we do. That's why we get upset with the daylight savings time, some of us. Okay, because what happens when the daylight saving times happens? It gets light earlier. No, it gets dark earlier. What does it do? It stays light later, but it's dark when we get up. And I'm going to be waking up now at 5 to 7 instead of 5 to 6. Whatever. But there was a change made in the beginning of the day. It became common to begin the day at sunrise. This custom was adopted and persisted among the Jews even down to the New Testament times. You can see for a source reference, April 1946, the Jewish Quarterly Review. We have had personal information I've looked at from the Hebrew Union College admitting that. Also, in that same year of, now June of 48, 2 years later, it's in the Expository Times, if I remember correctly. Christ himself instructed, as we're going to see, the keeping of the Passover on the 14th. Most people are in agreement, I say most, when Christ was killed. By people in agreement, I mean those who read the Bible and don't follow traditions of men. They read the Bible for what it states. So it was in the afternoon, this is going to come into play, it was in the afternoon of the 14th. Well, then why did Jesus keep the Passover? Because it was in the night portion of the 14th, that is, the night before the day he was crucified. You with me? Some have reasoned that Christ kept the Passover correctly every year until the last year when he kept it on the wrong day. I've heard that. I've heard people that claim to be God's children tell me that. And they're very clear about it. Others insist that because John mentions the Passover as occurring on the evening after Christ's sacrifice, that the Passover Christ kept the previous evening was just a Last Supper or some kind of love feast or meal. I've heard that. But Christ makes it very clear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that the disciples were to prepare the Passover. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 2, quote, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Clark's commentary says this regarding this verse. "This feast day began on the 14th day of the first moon in the first month, Nisan or Nisan, and it lasted only 1 day, but it was immediately followed by the days of unleavened bread, which were 7, so that the whole thing lasted 8 days, and all the 8 days are sometimes called the feast of the Passover and sometimes the feast or days of unleavened bread." It's interesting to note that Clark's commentary even says the two are separate. But the point is that these days were in general called the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, meaning the whole 8 days, including the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Matthew says, after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover. In Mark chapter 14, verse 1, it says, after 2 days was the Feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover." Now I'm confusing everybody, right? All three use slightly different terminologies, but the meaning is the same. The meaning's the same. It doesn't change. And it's true for John 19:14. On the day Christ was crucified, John wrote that the preparation of the Passover was at hand. You all right? Okay. It is true that this was just before Christ died on the afternoon of the 14th. But in verse 31, John makes it clear what this preparation was for. And I quote, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate now that their legs might not be broken," "that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." So at sunset, after Christ died, the high day or the holy day, the first day of unleavened bread began. So the 15th, when we keep the night to be much observed, which is congruous with Scripture, we begin, that's why at the night to be much observed, we have for the meal no leavened products. Unless you want to quickly eat a little bit right before the meal and the sun goes down. So I've seen people do that. I can have one last piece of bread. I don't encourage that because at the Passover we have unleavened bread, which is symbolic. And anyway, so at sunset, after Christ died, the high day or the holy day, the first day of unleavened bread began. The Jews were preparing for their Passover, not the Lord's. That's Leviticus 23:5. Now let's continue with the story. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17 and 18, let's read. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go in the city to such a man and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at the house with my disciples.'" The Greek word for Passover is in these two verses is Pascha. P-A-S-C-H-A. Some of you like Strong's Concordance. It defines the word as the Passover, the meal, the festival. Verse 19 continues, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." They made ready the Passover, the same Greek word. If this event was only referring to a final meal or a Last Supper, certainly the word Pascha or Pascha would not have been inspired. Notice Mark's account, Mark 14:14. "And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master says, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" Same Greek word, Pascha. The same word is also used in Luke's account. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Notice, "And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And notice again, Matthew 26, verse 18. "And he said, go into the city to such a man and say, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." Those who teach, believe, advocate, or follow that we should keep the 15th of Nisan Passover and say this was just some kind of final dinner, or actually saying Christ was confused, he didn't know what he was talking about. Wow. Jesus said, "I will keep the Passover with my disciples." This makes it plain to me that when Jesus gathered with his disciples the night he was betrayed by Judas was indeed the Passover. The next morning, after the betrayal, the Jews brought Jesus before the Sanhedrin. This is in John 18:28. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover." So this was before the Jews' Passover. And the holy day was to start at sunset of that evening. So Passover, as I said, is not a holy day, if you will. Now remember, the Jews did not want to kill him on a feast day for fear of what the people might do. That was in Matthew 26, verse 5. They also wanted to be sure the bodies did not remain on the stake during the holy day. That's John 19:31. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th, Christ died. That's in Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. So the Passover meal and sacrifice all occurred on the 14th of Nisan. When we read that the Jews' Passover was at hand, that's exactly what it was. It was the Jews' Passover. Now let's look at the New Testament church, which we're part of. Had Jesus Christ kept the Passover on the wrong day, how could he still be our Savior? Could he be a lamb without blemish? Years after he died, the same Christ instructed the Apostle Paul about the symbols that had been changed on that last Passover before his crucifixion. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Matthew 26, verse 26 to 30, and Luke 22, verse 15 to 20. Paul explained to the church at Corinth, or the Corinthians, that Christ was our Passover. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, notice this. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul further explains the Passover. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Paul and God's people at that time were to eat the bread and drink the wine. When? On the same night in which he, Christ, was betrayed, verse 23, the evening of the 14th. Again, the time setting, folks, is the evening of the 14th, the night Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Paul goes on to explain the changed symbols. This is verse 24 and 25. I have it in my notes because it's bigger and I can read it. It's here, but it's the same thing here. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" That's why during the Passover service, you'll hear me break the bread, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So I don't think there's any doubt that what Paul is talking about is the Passover Christ kept with his disciples. Paul instructed the church of God to keep the Passover at the same time and the same way that Christ kept it. It was to be kept in remembrance of Christ. Notice the next verse, verse 26, makes it even plainer. "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Some assume, or they've been taught, that since Christ was crucified on the afternoon of the 14th, the lamb must have been slain in the afternoon of the 14th in the Old Testament, and the Passover meal must have been kept that night on the 15th. The night Christ was betrayed, which he plainly called the Passover, they ate the bread and drank the wine for what? To show the Lord's death till he comes. Paul's group followed the example precisely. In the New Testament, folks, Christ changed the symbols, not the day. Okay, what about the apostles then? What about the church? What about after the time of Christ and the New Testament apostles? Is there any proof that the church after the apostles kept the Passover on the 14th? Eusebius' Ecclesiastical History mentions that Polycarp went to Rome to discuss with Anastas, the head of the Roman church, a topic concerning the day of the Passover. Polycarp had been instructed by the apostles and been appointed head of the church at Smyrna by the apostles. Eusebius records and writes that he, Polycarp, always taught what he had learned from the apostles, what the church handed down, and what is the only true doctrine. He mentioned there was considerable discussion about the difference of opinion concerning the Passover. And I quote, "The churches of all Asia, guided by a remoter tradition, supposed that they ought to keep the 14th day of the moon for the festival of the Savior's Passover. That was around 154 AD when Polycrates, who followed Polycarp, stated, 'We observe the exact day, their day, neither adding or taking away.'" Notice they kept the 14th day for the Passover. So there's historical evidence that the apostles in the New Testament church kept the Passover on the 14th, also indicating there was still controversy on which day to observe it, the 14th or the 15th. Remember, the Jews kept it a day later than Christ. And later, Jewish converts could have brought this controversy into the New Testament church when they were converted to Christianity. Many of you have studied or heard this before. What is called, many of you have no idea what it means, but a lot of ministers have used it, the Quartodeciman controversy. Ever heard that? Let me explain it in the simplest of terms. I speak Spanish. Se habla español. Yo soy americano, but se habla español un poco. No hay perfecto, pero bueno. Cuarto means four. In Spanish, cuatro. That's how I remember it. Cuarto means four, and deciman means 10. So cuarto y 10, so cuatro y diez. Interesting, the language, similar. Quartodeciman means 14. In the early New Testament church after Christ died, there arose the Quartodeciman controversy. The Christians who were keeping the 14th Passover were called into question about their beliefs. It appears the Jews began to make division concerning the 14th and the 15th Passover observance way back then. And there is evidence that this movement began right after the fall of Jerusalem, and the Jews could no longer offer a temple sacrificial lamb on the evening before the 15th because the temple had been destroyed. The Jewish Passover at this point became exclusively a 15th of Nisan Passover, and it's still that way today. Might I add, I'm not trying to be funny, there would not have been a Quartodeciman controversy had the Christians been observing the 14th day, the 14th Passover, as Christ did. Wouldn't have been a controversy. Notice again in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." That's the day the apostles, Paul, taught Christians to observe the Passover. And there shouldn't be any doubt, no dispute, anywhere by anyone that the night Jesus Christ observed his last Passover was on the 14th. But there is. And with this in context in mind, we need to understand that if the Christians were in fact observing the 15th Passover, there would have not been a Quartodeciman controversy in the first place. Some Jewish traditions and customs have been accepted as the teachings of Jesus the Christ, even though he never practiced or taught us to observe them, folks. Again, I'm not trying to cause strife. If a person does accept the traditional Jewish Passover, the Jewish Passover, as the 15th, they observe it, then, this is a strong statement, you will be accepting the commandments and the traditions of men which are contrary to what the truth of God teaches. That's where I have to discuss this. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 soundly and publicly rebuked Peter and the other Jews for making the Gentiles Judaize by following the tradition of the Jews in place of the teachings of God. It's a slippery slope, folks. There's a lot of people that are buying into it and following it. And someone said, when are you going to be enlightened and begin to do what you're supposed to do? I said, if I lose my mind and stop reading God's word for what God's word says. I'm Jewish. I have a lot of Jewish blood in me. I'm not completely Jewish, but I'm a lot. So I guess I should get on board, maybe. No, because I want to follow what our Lord and Master and his Father has told me I have to do. So the Apostle Paul was clear. That's exactly what's happening today. So some who follow and accept the traditional teachings of the Jews over the teachings of Jesus Christ, and they mishmash and mix it, and it gets so confusing and so clear to them that they then have to keep things differently to fit in line with the Jews. And I'm not against Jews. I am one. I love them. I love Israel. But I don't keep Hanukkah. And I don't keep Passover on the 1st of April this year in the evening. I don't. And I won't. And so, Jesus, without reservation, flat out, totally rejected the Jews' religious traditions because in holding to their traditions, they rejected and set aside the commandments of God. Mark 7, I'm going to read it, verse 7 and 9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things like you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own tradition. I love the movie Fiddler on the Roof. Da-da-da-da. Why do we wear the armica, the skull cap, and have these things hanging and all these fancy robes? Why do we do all these things? I tell you, I don't know. But it's a tradition. Da-da-da-da, tradition. Remember that? Da-da-da. You see, he just dances, and I love that show, and I love Tevye. My favorite line is there a blessing for the Tsar? The precatory prayer. May the Lord bless. Yeah, there is. May the Lord bless and keep the Tsar far, far away. That's why I pray for kings and all in authority that we can live peaceably lives and worship God. Now, there's some symbolism and there's harmony. Those who try to combine the Passover with the first day of unleavened bread are missing out on the incredible symbolism God has given us through his holy days. Years ago, we had a booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? Can we see the wonderful meaning? Do we grasp the significance? Because it's really important that we keep the Passover and then the next night keep the night to be much observed and begin the day of unleavened bread. It's really important that we keep them separate, yet they're combined and they fit in with the plan of God. But God has a purpose. The Passover pictures the death of Christ for the remission of sins that are past, Romans 3:25. The accepting of his blood does not forgive sins we may later commit. It does not give us license to continue to sin. Therefore, when we accept it, our sins are forgiven only up to that time. I tell people this when I baptize them, past sins. But shall we stop there with only the past sins forgiven? We're still fleshly human beings, at least I am. We still suffer temptation. Sin has held us in its clutch. We are slaves to sin and its power. And we are powerless to deliver ourselves from it. We are in bondage as it's put to sin. Understand the picture and the meaning. To what extent shall we put away sin? Not a little bit, not partially, but completely. Right? That's what we're trying. And as leaven, 1 Corinthians 5:8, is also a type of sin, leaven puffs up, and so does sin. And as seven is God's number symbolizing completeness, we are to follow the Passover with 7 days of unleavened bread. The picture, the meaning, the symbolism is not complete with the Passover alone. Now, Passover pictures the acceptance of Christ's blood for the remission of past sins. It also pictures the crucified, the dead Christ. So, should we leave Christ symbolically hanging on the cross? This is partly an answer to your question. The 7 days, he asked a question about crosses and crucifixes. The 7 days of unleavened bread following Passover picture to us the complete putting away of sin, the keeping of the commandments, and also what? Eating of the body of Christ. So we can have life forever. All that's after past sins are forgiven. The Passover pictures the acceptance of Christ's blood, the remission of past sins. That occurs first. And next after Passover come the days of unleavened bread, which picture us going forward and putting out sin and putting away sin completely. That, to me, is an incredible blessing to understand that. So if you believe or teach or want to keep it on the night to be observed, the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread, you want to keep your Passover then, have a Seder, a meal, call it the Last Supper, that's between you and God. That's your choice. But I will not, as the pastor of Church of God Ministries and personally, will not teach nor say it's okay to teach from the pulpit that I have responsibility for that we should be keeping it on the 15th. Because that breaks down the plan of God. And it goes so deeply in the traditions of the Jews and men. And the Jews have some things that they're fine with, but they have other things that, and this is one of them. And so what I'm finding more and more people in the Church of God now are beginning to keep Hanukkah and post it on Facebook and teaching that we have the Last Supper or a Seder on the 15th. That's our Passover. And I'm like, I need to talk about it. You can agree with me or you can disagree with me. That's your choice. But I stand before God that I have taught what is in the Scripture. It's clear. I love all of you. I'm not trying to cause division. This may cause some donations and tithes and offerings to quit coming in. I can't help that. I have to teach the truth in love. And so now you know where I come from and what God's Word says, to the best of my understanding. You can do whatever you want. But let me state this too. This is a pretty strong statement. In the book of Judges, in those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Please be careful what you adhere to and follow and what paths you go down. Please. Because it starts small and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And then you get into the part where it says, Paul talks about discerning the Lord's body, and because many are not doing that, many of you are sick and are dead. If you would discern the Lord's body, and that's a whole other topic that we need to talk about. So, 14th or 15th, hopefully it was clear, not too muddled, too difficult. You may need to go back and say, what in the world? That was way too much to cover. He didn't turn to very many scriptures. I did. I read them out of here. But again, I love all of you, care for you. I hope you love me. Hope you're not offended. But I have to teach the truth. And I will do that till I lose my mind or I'm not here. Or, God forbid, go the wrong direction. I hope I don't. I'll try not to. So join me in prayer and we'll finish. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. Thank you for the blessing of knowing you and your truth. And we do pray to you. It's not wrong to mention your Son's name, Jesus Christ, but we can do that. But we primarily focus on you. You're the Creator that created us and you love us and you're our Father in heaven. Jesus is our brother, our Lord and Master, our soon-coming King, and our friend. So we pray and ask your blessing now. Help us to have an open mind and don't let gifted teachers, take us away from the truth. Please, Father, forgive us if we do that. We mean well. We're trying. We want to do what's right. We want to obey you. We want to follow you, but it's difficult sometimes. So we ask your blessing. Be with us. Protect us. Bring us back safely. We got a lot of church events, worship opportunities coming and fellowship over these next few weeks. And prior to the Passover season and the days of unleavened bread, all of it, we know that we have challenges. And so help us to stay strong, anchored to you, put you first, and pray you'll bless the meal today. Thank you for it. Thank you for this time we've had together. Bless all those that are watching with us, worshiping with us today. Encourage and help and strengthen the feeble-hearted and the weak legs and the health challenges we have. And I have several family members, one that just died recently. Just be with the families. Encourage and strengthen them. Help us not to get swayed by even all the things going on in the world, because right now it's every day is another opportunity to be fearful if we're not close to you. So give us strength, give us power, and please go with us and bring us back. And we ask for your dismissal. We thank you again for the food. Please bless it. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.